Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to know intuition for higher awareness and consciousness. Today I am delighted to welcome Swami Saradananda, author of The Cleansing Power of Yoga, which explains how removing stuck energy, which we all have at times, can have not just far-reaching physical benefits, but also emotional and spiritual ones, including increased clarity, vitality, and focus to a more interconnected relationship with the people and world around you. Hello, Swami Saradananda, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Hello, Cheryl. Yeah, I'm very happy to be speaking with you.
Oh, delightful. Swami, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my guests and I share intimate experiences and insights into enlarging our understanding of both our physical and our energetic life force, so we may begin to create lives of balance, health, prosperity, improve ourselves and the human world condition. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will have a discussion on the importance of yoga and meditation while realizing our soul needs to refine our physical and energetic life. And we'll discover yoga poses, visualization, mudras, meditations, and other specific cleansing exercises explained step by step in this very detailed book, which may enhance each of your five senses and mind. I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and try to remember a person, place, event that may have shown them or others around them the possible pathway or lifestyle they might live as an adult. For within the child is the wisdom of their life experience to come. And if we pay attention, much becomes clear to us. So think back for a minute and see what comes to mind.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that I was quite ill as a child. I had polio when I was about 4 years old, and I was completely paralyzed by it. And the doctors told my parents that I would never be able to walk. However, when I tell it to people who know me, no one believes it because, you know, I can walk, I can run, I can do very complicated yoga poses. And my mother used to say the reason I could walk was that I was too young to understand the doctors.
I love that because you knew the possibilities were endless for you to be happy, and listening to people changing your thought was not viable for you. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, when people tell you you can't do something, you know, if you believe them, then you can't do it. But if you just keep trying, a lot of times you can do things that people think are impossible.
Absolutely. Thank you for that insight. Yeah. And that wonderful story. Yeah. You offer, before we get there, tell us something of your extensive training and mentors and your time in the Himalayas, which must have been very invigorating and special. You've had a very interesting life.
Yes. I first met my teacher, Swami Vishnu Devananda, who is the founder of the Shivananda Yoga Centers. I met him, I think it was in 1967 or 69, but I started practicing yoga in 67 when I was living in Florida, and I was just looking for some kind of exercise to do, you know, and I was looking in the newspaper, and I saw a class, a yoga class. I had no idea what it was, and I just thought, okay, I'll try it. And I really enjoyed it. And then when I moved, I moved back to New York because I'm from New York originally. And that's when I met my teacher and I started studying with him. And first I was doing just the physical exercises, but then I got more and more interested in the meditation and the philosophy. So I actually studied with my teacher for about 20 years until he died in 1993. And, you know, I've just been practicing and studying and teaching for many years now.
Well, Swami, you know, my first book was Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. And, you know, you, as I surely believe, that everyone comes into our life at the right time and in the right way for us to explore our spiritual gifts. And I think that's wonderful. Yeah, so you started. You made a choice. You said yes to try something that maybe was not so familiar to you. And I'm the same way. I grew up in New York also. And it was not in my lifestyle or in my family training to go this route of holistic healing and meditation and prayer and yoga and to find the deep spiritual connection to the universe that I have been very grateful to find these last 25 years. So, yeah, when we're due to find it, if it's in our path, we certainly will have the help we need. I believe that. Now, you offer a specific way to utilize this book, this wonderful book. So can you tell us about that?
Well, the book is designed so that you can look at any spread, you know, two pages next to each other, and it's like a complete lesson in itself. So you can read a chapter. Each chapter is designed to work with one of the five senses. But even within each chapter, you can just do the practice on one page. And it's sort of complete in itself.
You know, chapter 1-6 focuses on ways to cleanse the five senses. And the five senses are connected to chakras, which relate to different aspects of our development, both spiritually and physically. But, you know, I find sometimes with a book like yours, most books that are spiritual, you can just open it, just let it fall open to a page, and it will that day give you some insight into what you may be experiencing and need help with. Of course, it's also very great and wonderful to ask for help before you do that, before you know, thinking about what you might be needing help with. But your book does lend the way to have that approach. So I think that's excellent. Now, you begin to describe Ayurvedic constitutions which are necessary for understanding balance and physical health. So you're really combining a great deal of information about yoga and Ayurvedic healing methods. And I love that they're brought together, because once you start on a path, you're going to just continue to have different teachers and learn different, and they're all adding to the complexity of the knowledge and the wisdom that we're ready to absorb at any given time. So tell us something about that.
Well, I think the focus of the book is what you can do for yourself. You know, a lot of people are used to going to a doctor or having someone give them a treatment, but there's so much that you can do for yourself, and that's really what yoga is. It's a kind of self-healing
and a self-development process. To feel to feel their body and start to understand the energies within and around us.
Because you have to keep your body healthy and strong. You know, we say the body is a vehicle for the soul. And if the vehicle breaks down, you don't get where you're going. So that was the idea of the book, is to start with the physical body, you know, and to keep the physical body, you know, fit and strong. And then to also start going more deeply, you know, into the meditation and, you know, different inner practices.
Yeah.
So I've got both. I have both in there.
You have so much information. You talk about Ayurveda as a medical system, and treatments are offered by doctors and massage by therapists. And then you talk about the three constitutions known as dashas. Can you tell us something about that?
Doshas, yeah.
Doshas.
So they go on the theory that there are three constitutions that everyone has. You know, they divide people into more fiery type of people, or more grounded, we call kapha kind of people, or people who are more airy, vata people. And most people are a combination of those. So, not the same practice doesn't always work for everyone.
No.
If you're a very airy person, maybe you need more grounding. Whereas if you're a very grounded person, like you have heavier bones and heavier structure, you might tend to get stuck sometimes. So then you need more things that will help to lift you. So I've included all, practices for all different types of people.
Yes, you have.
Or, sometimes you could do the same exercise, but you just do it in a slightly different way.
Absolutely.
Or you focus on one thing more than the other.
Now, that's an important word. Focus, mm-hmm. intention, thoughts creating our life. There's really so much to know. But it has to begin mm-hmm. with becoming aware of some of the patterns that we may have developed in our childhood, or maybe even mm-hmm. before this life, and then working with teachers or mentors, people who have great experience in understanding energy and the physical and emotional and spiritual aspects. And there are other systems mm-hmm. also that do this. The five elements, I've done shows on that, and psychology, body types. There are seven mm-hmm. body types, and people who will be considered in one body type will behave in a certain way, have certain personality traits, and relate better mm-hmm. to certain activities and perhaps other people. And just becoming aware of who we each are individually, and not having to meet other people's expectations, but to gather our mm-hmm. own connection, is a very important part of being healthy. Now, you offer ways to integrate cleansing into our life by setting up a cleansing intention known as a sankalpa.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little sample of what a sankalpa is.
Well, it might be that you want to do something, but part of your mind says, no, I can't do it. So you actually, before you go to do it, you might just visualize yourself doing it. Mm. And you actually see yourself doing it, and then it becomes easier to do because you've already seen yourself do it. Like things in yoga, we have different positions, like the headstand. A lot of people think, oh, I could never do that. So I always tell people, before you even try to do it, just sit for a moment or lie down, it doesn't matter, but just visualize yourself in the perfect headstand. And then just say to yourself, okay, I've already done it, let me do it again. And then you just get up and you do it. And it's amazing what you can do when you've already seen yourself do it.
That's very interesting, because years ago mm-hmm. when I started this work, I was told by an intuitive that I had to begin yoga. And I needed to do mm-hmm. it to quiet my energy in my mind and to start to feel, the different states of energy. And one day, the teacher, she asked me to join a group of four other people to be videotaped. And I said to myself, I said, well, I don't, know if I am really up and proficient enough to do this. And I did exactly that. While I was doing whatever I had to do with the group, I saw myself moving through the exercises, and I actually saw mm-hmm. I actually saw myself in a different body. I'm small and kind of, how can I say, solid. And I saw myself mm-hmm. as a taller Saturn person with long limbs, moving very effectively. So maybe in another lifetime, that's mm-hmm. what I was. But it was wonderful anyhow, and I did the best job I could. And I didn't say mm-hmm. no. I tried it, right? And that's mm-hmm. part of success, just doing the best you can and giving it a shot. Now, you talk about cleansing throughout the day, and you mention a lot of very important things that we should start to think about and do on a regular basis, like cleaning your desk or kitchen and workspace before leaving it, because you're uncluttering your physical being and your mind by taking care of something that needs to be done right away. What are some of the other things you suggest for cleansing throughout the day?
Well, I think in the morning, everyone should do neti. Neti is the nasal cleansing. And it takes about, I would say, 2 or 3 minutes to do. So I don't think anyone can say they don't have time. And I think everyone who lives in a modern city with the air is so polluted. You know, I think everyone should do it. So I have what's called a neti pot, which you can now buy in every health food store, and you know, a lot of drug stores sell it. And you just put in like lukewarm water and some sea salt, and you cleanse the nasal passages. And then, you know, I brush my teeth, and you know, I clean my mouth, I clean my throat, and then I do what's called skin brushing, where you actually brush away the dead skin and improve your circulation, because you've been lying in bed, you know, all night, and you know, then you're going to maybe a job where you're sitting in one place all day, so you need to keep your circulation going. So I think those two things are very important for modern people.
Yes, absolutely. Also, you also mentioned try not to gossip or spread negative opinions and judgment. Aside from the physical, we need to improve our mind, our thinking, our speech, to be kinder and more in balance and delicate with our emotions. I like that very much. We have to be aware of emotions and not sweep things under the carpet to fester. Now, you describe... Also, aside from the neti pot, which is excellent, especially now in the winter, you know, when we're in so much and there's steam heat and, you know, you go from the hot to the cold, so it's an excellent idea to get in the habit of doing that. You describe how exercising the eyes helps to clear away the negative effects of daily stress, strain, and environmental toxins such as intense artificial lights. Can you share one of these exercises with us? You give wonderful, you know, pictures and descriptions, and it's easy to do, even if you don't do all of them, if you get in the habit of doing one each day and a different one another day, you know, it will be wonderful. So pick one that you like and tell us.
Well, you know, most people work at computers nowadays, so they're staring at a computer screen all day, and the eyes start to get very tense. Just like the muscles get tense when you sit in one position, the eyes get very tense. So you can do an exercise where you just hold up the thumb of one hand, like you straighten your elbow and hold the thumb like straight in front of your face. And you open your eyes really, really wide, and you feel as though you're actually popping your eyes out of your head. And you keep pushing them out, and then you slowly move the thumb towards, like, say you're holding your right hand up. You would move it very, very slowly to the right side. Without moving your head, you would keep staring at your thumbnail. And you just move the thumb as far to the right as you can see it, and then very, very slowly you move back. And then, of course, you do it on the left side. And you can do all different shapes so that the eyes get exercised and keep moving, because it's just like any part of your body. It needs to keep moving. Otherwise, it tightens up.
You also give some practice tips to remove glasses or contact lenses and perform all the movements slowly and gently, trying to move just your eyes, not your head. And you suggest if your eyes start to water, which most people get afraid of if that happens, it's actually showing that you're having a successful cleanse. So for our listeners, I just wanted to put that in. Now let's go on to, in these very challenging modern times, with communications issues complicated by social media and lack of purity of speech, You suggest ways to improve the quality of our spoken word, and you also suggest voluntary silence periods. Can you tell us something about that? It's really important.
Yeah, this is actually one of the most important, you know, in ancient times, this was one of the most important practices. It's called Bhavana. And they say that when your mind is constantly going out, you're draining your energy. So spend some time every day where you just sit in silence, or you can do something very simple, you know, like say you're just chopping some vegetables and you don't really have to think about it, you know, and you just keep silence. Or maybe when you're walking, you know, a lot of people walk on the street and they're on their phones the whole time walking down the street. You know, so the mind is constantly going out. And when the mind is always going out, you don't get to see what's inside. And often when you become silent, like you don't let the senses go out, but you focus inward, there's no noise. It's like there's no noise outside. So you realize how much noise is going on inside. You know, you notice how much chatter is going on in the mind. So, start by physical silence, and then you work on the mental silence.
Okay. And it seems important or advantageous to simplify our lives and make space for happiness. And in our busy world, many people are not doing that, and that's why there's so much maybe health issues and mental health issues and all the other social problems that we're having all over the world. You're in England and I'm in the United States, and I know you're seeing a big shift in the behavior in people. And how do we get back? I mean, you have a quote in the book that I like very much by the Buddha that says, "We are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves." So what can you suggest people start to do in these troubling, changing times?
I think if, you know, there are a lot, like there's some very negative people in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, there are also some very positive people in the world. So most people aren't really negative or really positive, but they just sort of go with the flow. So why let the negative people, you know, sort of lead in that direction? Why don't the positive people have the strength of mind to realize that they can also be leaders? You know, just by being peaceful within themselves, they can affect so many people. You know,
Well, you know what it is? You know what it is also? Most people confuse the brain and the mind. The brain, of course, is our physical body, our ego-based working mind. And the mind is more subtle, existing in what yogis refer to as the astral or energy body. I think when people start to understand they're more than their physical body, there's so much more than they right away open up to the possibilities of how they want to conduct their day, how they want to conduct how they speak to their children or the people they work with or their family members. But it is an opening up of awareness, and it must start somewhere. So you're right, as you and I are sharing this now with listeners. And we are hoping that the peace and calm that comes from within us is going through and changing the vibration of those listening, because we cannot do more if we don't allow ourselves to open up to the possibilities of creation. We're always creating with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So I think what you just said is entirely true. When the mind becomes more firm and strong as we engage in purifying practices, we might have more self-control and be less distracted by the sensory world, right?
Yes, I definitely agree with that.
All right. What would you like readers after reading The Cleansing Power of Yoga to take away. There's so much to take away from the book. Practical ideas and ideas to raise our level of thinking. What would you like to say to listeners?
Well, I would like to say that, you know, accept the fact that you're responsible for your own health, and don't expect like someone else to heal you or even to tell you what to do. You know, sometimes when I teach yoga classes, a student will say something like, "Oh, my doctor won't let me do that." And I never let them get away with that. You know, I always say to them, you know, your doctor is only a consultant.
Right.
You know, of course you should discuss it with him, listen to what he has to say.
And make your judgment. And make your choice.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
you right. know yourself so, best. We all know ourselves mm-hmm. best.
Right, right. Yeah, so if a person says to me, my doctor suggests that I don't do that, so I would rather not do it. Well, that's fine, because then you're taking responsibility for your own health. Mm-hmm. But why give away your power to other people?
Thank you for saying that, your personal power, because I do Reiki healing sessions, and when a person comes to me, they fill out a form, and on the back, there's a disclaimer that says, how does it say it? What it says is, you can't expect anyone to make the choice for you. We set, as healers, we set up an environment for people, but people ultimately make the choice. And it's like you can't be given a pill or surgery if you're not going to change your heart and mind and lifestyle, then it's not going to be successful. So that's what the disclaimer basically says, that I am here to set up an environment, but I cannot make the change that they personally must do. They have the personal power to do that. Exactly what you were just saying. So I want to thank you, Swami Sarandananda, for writing a most comprehensive book of practical exercises with excellent, beautiful pictures and a clear understanding of energy healing, Ayurvedic medicine, yoga, and the ways to know our astral body and how to protect and enhance our natural energy systems for a healthy physical life experience. To read more and to purchase this book, go to yogamentor.yoga or amazon.com. In summarizing this episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the world of energy or prana, which surrounds and energizes the physical body and which animates our physical life, though it is not a physical energy nor made up of physical elements. Prana flows through the subtle channel known as nadis and is referred to as meridians in acupuncture and make up the subtle wiring system of our astral body. Any major place where major nadis cross is referred to as a chakra, and we have spoken about this earlier in the show. Swami writes, acting as the interface between your physical body and its etheric double, the pranamaya kasha chakras can be thought of as multidimensional balls of radiant energy. As each chakra vibrates at a different rate, its cleansing takes a different form, much like our reaction to the exercises you will do in this book. It's individualized and everyone is different. Our body and life force is interconnected to energy and to each other, and learning about healing techniques is the key to knowing oneself in our miraculous and eternal form. Swami and I would have you care for yourself, body, mind, and spirit, and learn to love yourself and love life, moving through challenges and concerns by nourishing the body and mind and finding peace, calmness, and love, which is indeed your birthright as a soul. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn about the wondrous world of physical and energetic life and ways to enhance your thinking, your being, and health as you explore life and gain tools to live better. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.